Well, it's good to be here this morning.
The Lord's given us a beautiful day. Good to see each one of you. Praise the Lord for His grace. Amen. I tell you, if we got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell today. And that's not just a figure of speech. That's a fact. Lord's good. Allows us to be here. Feed on the Word of God. It's like having pecan pie with ice cream on it. Amen. The Lord's good. Let's look this morning in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. Notice verse 17. John 1, 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad we're not under law? I want to share with you this morning a message entitled, The Downward Direction of Grace. Downward Direction of Grace. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this privilege to be here this morning. Thank You for the beautiful day. Thank You for the freedom that we enjoy, providing this camp and the ability to hear the Word here. We thank You for Brother Feather and his ability to be here this morning. We pray for Brother Lucilius and Mrs. Lucilius and their absence. We pray, Lord, Your grace would be with them in a special way. Pray now You'd bless this Word, Lord, and give utterance, unction from on high. Just may Your name be glorified. Everything said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 1, John speaks of Christ as the eternal Word, the creator of all things. He is the light of God, the Savior of sinners. It is Jesus Christ who gives sinners the power to become the sons of God. We see that in John 1 there, verse 12, But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Jesus Christ is the vehicle of grace. Again there in verse 17, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Moses was the vehicle of the law. In the law, God approached His people at a distance. Moses brought the law down to the people. The law announced what God righteously demanded of men, and therefore what men ought to be according to God's standard. The law demanded perfect obedience. The only alternative to perfectly keeping the law was death. For the wages of sin is death. The law revealed God's righteous hatred of sin and His holy determination to punish sin. The law exposed the guilt and corruption of the sinner and could never justify that sinner. That's the reason people hate the law. It shows them their true condition. In grace, we find that Christ is the vehicle of grace. No man can approach grace, but it must be brought down. Grace only travels down. Grace is unconditional, undeserved, spontaneous, stooping down, pardoning. See the love of God to depraved sinners manifested in grace. Grace is God's downward stoop to grasp our sinful souls. In grace, God looked down. We see there in Psalm 14, beginning there in verse 2, The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. When God looked down, He saw depraved sinners. The Scripture declared that there is none righteous. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good. Word of God declares very emphatically that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Over here in Romans chapter 3, beginning there in verse 10, says, as it is written, there is none righteous. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. So if you're saved here this morning, it is because of the matchless grace of God. When God looked down, He saw all men were sinners. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, why did God look down? He didn't look down, or He didn't have to look down. He looked down in grace. When He looked down, He saw filth and that which smelled rotten. He saw a bunch of sinners condemned in their sin, doing their own thing. God looked down at you and at me. Now, why would He do that? No reason but grace. We find again, God not only looked down, but He bowed down. He bowed down. Look in Psalm 31. Psalm 31, and notice, if you will, beginning there in verse 2. Psalm 31 and verse 2. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. God bends down to hear us when we pray. Look at verse 2. Psalmist says, bow down thine ear to me. Of course, that's a figure of speech. Simply means that the psalmist was praying for God to hear his prayer. Notice again, we find security in our God. Look at verse 3. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. And so here the psalmist saw the Lord to be his fortress, his strength. Our strength is in the Lord. When we cry out to God, God listens because of grace. Look at verse 4. It says, pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me. For thou art my strength. When we cry out, God listens. Notice again this morning, God came down. He not only looked down, not only bowed down, but He came down. Look with me, if you will, in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Notice Exodus chapter 3, beginning there in verse 7. Exodus 3 and verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. See, the Lord knows what we're going through. Verse 8, And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, a large and a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And so God came down. God came down to deliver His people. He looked down and saw their afflictions. He heard their desperate cry. He came down to deliver them. God's deliverance of His people from Egyptian bondage was a type of Christ coming to deliver His people from the bondage of sin. At His incarnation, the Son of God came down from heaven. He came down. You know, I go out, talk to people about the Lord. You go knocking doors, you meet all kind of people. But, you know, when you talk to a lot of people on the doorstep today, and you talk to them about God becoming a man, they look at you like you're nuts. But that's exactly what happened. God became a man in order that He might suffer and die for your sins and mine. Now, He didn't have to do that. He did that by grace. By grace. So we find, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but He that came down from heaven, given the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So even the Son of Man came to suffer and die for our sins. Mary gave birth to God incarnate. God became a man. Now there was a time when the Son was in the bosom of the Father, but He became a man in order that He might suffer and die for your sin and for mine. Christ came down from heaven to pay a terrible price, and that He did. We find that in Philippians chapter 2. Here, Paul writing to the Christians there in the church at Philippi. And he speaks there concerning the fact that God came down. Notice Philippians chapter 2, beginning there in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Notice who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He was God. And when He claimed to be equal with God, He wasn't claiming something that wasn't true. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God came down to suffer in our stead, to literally suffer the wrath of God that was due us. So we find in verse 7, He made Himself of no reputation. He emptied Himself. He was willing to lay aside His glory for a while and was made in the likeness of men. He humbled Himself even further and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God came down. Now as a servant, He obtained eternal redemption for His chosen ones by being made sin, becoming a curse of God in their stead. God came down from heaven in the person of Christ to save a people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. God became a man in order to seek and to save that which was lost. He came down because of grace. Notice again, God not only came down, but God reached down. Look back in Psalm 40. God reached down. Psalm 40. And notice, if you will, verse 1, Psalm 40, verse 1. Here the psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Notice verse 3. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And so the Lord stooped down. He came down. He reached down. Now, if you're saved this morning, it's because the Lord reached down for you. If you're in the pit of sin and despair, look to the Lord, and He'll call you out of your sin. He'll save your soul. You see, the Lord deals in grace. He deals in grace. And so God reached down His hand for me. He set our feet upon the solid rock. He put joy bells in our souls. And today, we've been set free by the grace of God as children of God. And so God not only reached down, but we find that God stooped down. God stooped down. Look with me in John chapter 8. John 8, and notice, if you will, beginning there in verse 1, God stooped down. Here we have the account of the Lord teaching there in the temple. All of a sudden, He's interrupted by these scribes and Pharisees. Notice, if you will, beginning there in verse 1 of John 8. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple. And all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. So here's the Lord teaching the people. But notice verse 3, and the scribes and Pharisees, that's that religious crowd, brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Now they thought they had Him. They were always trying to trick Him up. But I want you to notice His answer. Verse 6, this said they, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus, notice, stooped down, and with His finger wrote on the ground. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now notice verse 8. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the two, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up Himself, He saw none but the woman. He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, I believe this woman was gloriously saved by grace. And of course, these Pharisees and Sadducees who were so critical, they weren't about to repent of their sin. All they wanted to do is trick the Lord. And they went out lost and on their way to hell. And so we find Jesus stooped down. Now, He had come into the world to save sinners. He deals harshly with those who deny their own sin and point their finger at others. And if we're not careful, we tend to do that. Our Lord deals in grace with this sinner who stands before Him, realizing that if it weren't for His mercy and His grace, she would surely go to hell. And so she trusts Him. The Lord declares her righteous. We find in the Scriptures that Jesus stooped down to save those who realize their need of a Savior. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And when that sinner realizes his state of condemnation, and he cries out to the Lord for mercy, looks to Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, the Lord will save that sinner. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, fell down in Gethsemane and submitted to drink the bitter cup of God's wrath on our behalf. And as you see Him hanging there on the cross in Matthew 27, He is there enduring the wrath of God that was due you and me as sinners. We find that at midday, at 12 noon, as our Lord hung on the cross, God turned out the lights. There was darkness over all the land from 12 o'clock till 3 p.m. in the afternoon. That transaction between God the Father and God the Son, no man could look upon. And so God poured out His wrath on His own Son, the wrath due you and me. Notice again, God stepped down at Calvary. In those 3 hours of darkness, Jesus stepped down. He was suffering the wrath of Almighty God in our place. The perfect Son of God took our sin upon Himself by imputation. His sin was imputed, our sin was imputed to Him. His righteousness was imputed to us. Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. "For He, God the Father, hath made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us." Jesus literally suffered the hell we deserve. He paid in full the price of our sin as He hung on the cross. Now, He took our sin on Himself, and He gives to us perfect righteousness. If you're in Christ this morning, you've been declared righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has taken your sin, on the cross, taken your sin away, washed your sin in His precious blood, and He gives to you perfect righteousness, those of you who call upon Him for salvation. And so it was on the cross that our Lord finished the work that the Father had given Him to do. Look in John 17. John 17, we find the Father sent His Son into the world to do a work. And that's the purpose for which our Lord came into the world, was to do the will of the Father. And so we find Him praying here in John 17, just prior to His going to the cross. Notice verse 1, John 17 and verse 1. "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal." Now there's a definition for life eternal. "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." What is life eternal? It is knowing God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, "I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do." And of course, He got up from praying and was taken before the mock courts and eventually nailed to the cross, where He suffered and died in our place, in our stead. There in John 19, and I want you to look at verse 30. As our Lord hung on the cross, John 19, verse 30, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. When he said, "It is finished," what he meant was everything necessary for sinners like you and me to be saved has already been done. It's amazing how many people want to add works to what the Lord has already finished. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we receive Him and His finished work on our behalf, He applies that work of His to our hearts by grace. And He cleanses us from our sins. And we're declared righteous. And so in the 3 hours of darkness, Jesus never called God His Father because He had become sin for us who knew no sin. Notice again this morning, God sat down in heaven. He sat down in heaven. I want you to look with me in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Of course, we believe the Bible, so we study the Bible. Amen? Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 3. A glorious truth. Look at it. "Who being the brightness of His glory," speaking of the Son of God, "and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He," that is our Lord, "had by Himself purged our sins." You see, He didn't have any sins. He came and suffered and died for the sins of the sinner. He came to provide a way of salvation for those of us who were hopelessly, helplessly lost. He came to reach down in grace. So notice, "who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person," that is the exact image, "and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins," notice, "sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." His work was done. He ascended back to heaven and He sat down. Sat down. And so we find our Lord has ascended to heaven. Now look with me, if you will, in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Glorious truth here. In Acts 1, there, beginning in verse 8, of course, we see the disciples assembled there together. But verse 8, we find our Lord gives a commission to the church. Look at it. Acts 1, verse 8. Here our Lord speaking, He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so that local church there in Jerusalem, that's where the gospel would start to go out, then out into Judea, then into Samaria, then out into the uttermost part of the earth. And this literally is a outline of the book of Acts. But look at verse 9. "And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld," or while they looked on Him, "He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight." Now, folks, that was a glorious account. Here they are looking at the Lord, receiving this commission to go out and preach the Word. And as they're looking at Him, all of a sudden He began to ascend up into heaven. Notice verse 10. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." What a glorious truth. Our Lord had finished His work. He had gone to the grave. His body had been put in the grave. On the third day He rose again. He walked the earth 40 days and ascended back up to heaven where He is today, seated on the right hand of God the Father. And so after giving the commission to His church, our Lord was taken up by a cloud into heaven. This miraculous sight held the disciples spellbound as they stared up into heaven. The Son of God had already broken the bands of death in His resurrection, and now He defies the natural law of gravity as He ascends back to the Father, Father's right hand. There He sat down. Now in the Old Testament tabernacle and temple, there was no place for a chair because the work of the high priest was never finished. But Jesus has finished His work and has sat down making intercession for us. Look with me, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 9. Notice Hebrews, this glorious truth. Hebrews chapter 9. And look at verse 24. Hebrews 9, 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Notice. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. For us. What's the Lord doing in heaven today? He is there representing us. He is there as our mediator. He is there as our intercessor. Look over in Hebrews chapter 7. Look at Hebrews 7. Notice verses 24 and 25. Hebrews 7, verse 24. But this man, speaking of Christ, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. You know, those Old Testament priests, they die off. But folks, the Lord will continue throughout eternity. And His priesthood will never change. Look at verse 25. Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. You talk about security, folks. We're secure in the Lord. He's there. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And folks, when He saved us, He didn't just do a halfway job. He saved us to the uttermost. That's a whole nother sermon. Amen? But the Lord has blessed us, those of us who have trusted Him. Now, having finished His work of redemption, our Lord ascended into heaven and sat down. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. In the Old Testament tabernacle, high priest never sat down. And so the Lord has provided a way of salvation for us. And His work is finished, so He is seated now on the right hand of God in heaven. But I want you to notice one last truth concerning the downward direction of grace. Notice, God will once again come down at His second coming. God will once again come down at His second coming. Look in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Notice, let's just consider verses 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, notice verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from where? From heaven. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Think of those Christians, those believers that have already died. The Lord would come today, they would have a head start. Now, it wouldn't be much of a head start, but they would rise first. But notice verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, if you don't believe this, pardon me while I do. I'm looking for the Lord's coming. I don't know about you, but I'm not looking for purgatory. I'm looking for the Lord's coming. Now, I know we're going to have trials and troubles, and the closer we get to the day of the Lord's coming, I believe the worse it's going to get, and it's pretty bad already. You're just not safe anywhere today. There are things happening today that I never thought I'd see when I was a young man, young person in high school. Things have changed, but let me tell you, the Lord's the same. And He saves sinners. And the burden of my heart is to get people to listen to the Word of God. Because let me tell you, no one is ever saved apart from hearing the Word of God. The sinner must hear the Word of God. That's the reason the Lord has commissioned us to go out into the world and preach the gospel, because that's a sinner's only hope. But the Lord's coming back. And so the Lord Himself shall descend. Now, why would He want to come back to this old world? Well, He's coming back because of His grace. He's coming down so we can go up. Amen? You see there in John chapter 14, He said that He was going to tell His disciples He's going to leave them. But He's going to prepare a place for them. As surely as He's gone to prepare a place for them, He's coming back to receive them unto Himself, that where He is, they may be also. And so our Lord is coming back. He's coming back. Now, we can't go up until our Lord comes down. Now, that's grace. That's grace. Well, I conclude this morning. If you're saved, you should be eternally grateful to the Lord for His matchless grace. Because if it hadn't been for His grace, we'd all go to hell. So we need to look to the Lord and be ever grateful. I believe that that should encourage us to serve the Lord till He comes again. Be faithful to Him. But what a joy it is, even in these last days, to be able to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and just be reminded of who He is and why He came and what He'll do for sinners if they'll just look to Him in faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word, Your grace. Thank You for loving us while we were yet in sin. Thank You for providing a way of salvation. Thank You that You ever live to make intercession for us. Just bless now throughout the day. Be with the speaker of the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.